As you think about the book of Ephesians, here in chapter 6, we come up to this aspect of the whole armor of God. And one of the things that we have to realize as believers in Christ is there is something greater and bigger going on that we don't always recognize and see and understand. And Paul reminds us of that here in Ephesians chapter 6. And so as you think about the book of Ephesians, if you recall, I know I've said this several times, but chapters 1 through 3 are your foundation, foundational chapters. It grounds you in the doctrine. It grounds you in really the practical and what's to come and what Paul is trying to say. So chapters 4, 5, and 6 is how do you implement that? How do you work that out in your life as a believer? And so you build on that foundation in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And so when you come to chapter 4, it starts off, let me turn my page back over. It starts off there saying, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then he starts off chapter 4 that way, urging us to walk worthy. If you are saved, walk as somebody who is saved. Walk as somebody who knows what Christ, who's experienced that redeeming work of Christ in your life. And so we come to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. Paul exhorts us as believers to walk as wise. Walk as somebody who has wisdom, as somebody who is wise. Wisdom is a hallmark of God's word. It's just a hallmark of who he is. If you remember back back to that passage there in Ephesians chapter 5, the wise, they make the best use of their time. They make the best use of the time because they recognize the evil. They recognize evil. And so therefore, they make the best use of their time. They also understand the will of the Lord. They're guided by the Holy Spirit. And that being guided by the Holy Spirit, that helps them to understand the will of the Lord in their life. And then it goes on and says in that passage that that those who are wise, they give thanks. And they understand true submission. And one of the things that sometimes we don't realize is that submission, when you give thanks, you are submitting. I mean, that's a, you know, we overlook that because we think it's just being polite. But if you're genuinely, honestly, truthfully thankful for something that somebody has done for me, for you, then you giving thanks and being thankful is you submitting to that. You're saying, hey, you've done something for me, and I appreciate that. I might not have been able to do it myself, or maybe I could have done it myself, but regardless, you did something for me, and I submit to that, and I'm going to allow you to do that, and I thank you for doing that. Well, on this ideal or topic of the wise, we are to be reminded that the wise recognize evil. And so Paul, he gave us examples of what this submission looks like to help us understand that. And as he moves through this, this becomes very important because this aspect of submitting one to another plays into what we are talking about next with this understanding of evil. So submission, we realize, involves respect. It involves obedience, and it's not really necessarily as much as obedience to one another as it is obedience to the Lord, the Word of God, and that we are holding each other accountable to that, to the Word of God. And on top of that is our attitude behind that. Our attitude behind that. And when those three examples that Paul gives of submission, those are the three main highlights in those examples. And so all of that said, it leads to this final thought of Paul. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So we have Ephesians chapter 6, and that's the way verse 10 starts off. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And so as we look at this morning, we're going to realize that the wise prepare for spiritual warfare. The wise prepare for spiritual warfare. The reason that we need the strength goes back to what was mentioned earlier in chapter 5. See, the wise, they recognize evil. Particularly, they recognize the devil. They recognize the spiritual forces, the things that are out there, and they prepare for it. And so, the whole reason Paul explains to us the foundational chapters and those practical chapters boils down to this understanding of spiritual warfare. Yeah, there are benefits for us as believers in Christ in all of these things. But we wrestle, we fight against something that is far greater than us. The wise prepare for spiritual warfare. See, there is something going on that we cannot see nor completely understand. And playing Christian is different than actually being Christian. We can play Christian a lot, but playing Christian is different than actually being a Christian. We need the work of Christ in our life. We need the unity of the body of Christ. We need to be grounded as believers. We need to be walking worthy of the calling. We need to be putting off the old self and putting on the new self in Christ. We need to imitate God, and we need to be wise. Why? Because there are forces out there that are entrenched on ruining your life and the lives of everyone in God's creation. They are determined, they are resolved in doing so. And we as believers, and I say we as believers, oftentimes our westernized culture and that we live in, we forget this. We have so many comforts. We have so many distractions. We have such a plethora of stuff to our advantage that we lose sight of this. That there is something out there greater than we are, wrestling and struggling. And we forget that we're caught up in it. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, starting there in verse 10. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to look at some things that Paul reminds us of here. And so verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present age, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Help us, as we look at the world around us, to understand the evil and what lies behind that evil. Help us to be prepared to combat that as well. Help us, as we look through your word, to apply these things to our lives. And we just give you the praise and we give you the glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Paul reminds us of a true reality. I don't know how many of you have watched The Matrix before, but The Matrix is about people who are living in a virtual world versus what is really going on in real life. And sometimes I feel as though we live in the virtual world. We forget what is going on in reality. We have lost the sense of true reality. We create our own matrix, our own little bubble. And there's more to this life. There's a bigger picture. There's more than just simply living life, simply trying to make it through the day. And the wise are careful at recognizing this and not forgetting it. And so there's 5 points here this morning as we think about this spiritual warfare. The wise, number one, go to the Lord for strength. They're in verse 10. The wise go to the Lord for strength. The source, obviously, is the Lord. Not you, not your knowledge, not your expertise. The list can go on. Paul makes it quite clear that it most certainly is not your own strength or might. You can't do it. In chapter 2 and verse 1, we are declared or described as somebody who is dead in our trespasses and sins, needing to be revived. Therefore, someone who is revived, our strength obviously comes from the Lord. It can't come from us. Chapter 2 tells us that at one time we were under control of these evil spiritual forces. We lived according to our flesh, according to our own desires, under the influence of those things. What makes us think that we can ignore or stand against the evil in this world apart from the Lord? Yeah, our source is the Lord. We can't do it. We have been shown insufficient. Paul makes that quite clear. That's what chapters 1, 2, and 3 talk about. We are insufficient. Can't do it on our own. We need Christ. We need the Lord in our life. In Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3, Paul prayed that believers in Ephesus would have this power and strength. We need to be concerned for each other's spiritual life more than we do. We're so caught up oftentimes in just our physical well-being that we forget and neglect the fact that there are things happening behind the scenes influencing us more than we could ever realize and know. And we need to be concerned more about people's spiritual aspect. I pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. It's easy to get caught up in the things of this world. It's easy to sit around and get caught up in the comforts of this world. And I get blinded. So yeah, I need you to pray for me. It's easy for Satan to attack. So I need you to pray that I stay on guard. I pray for you. It's out there. We need to pray for each other. Part of this praying means that sometimes we need to be vulnerable. I mentioned this in Sunday school class. We need to take down the facade sometimes. You know, there are times we struggle. There are times, hey, you know, listen, it's hard right now. I don't know why. Don't know what's going on, but could you pray for me right now? There's just times we're going to have to be vulnerable like that. Yeah, it might lead to some more questions, and sometimes you may not be ready to answer those questions. So yes, it leaves you vulnerable, but at least you know what's going on in my life and you can pray for me. Why? Because it's not my strength. I'm not going to get through it on my own. I can only get through it with the strength of the Lord, His might. So we cannot help each other in this evil world if we pretend that life is good. I can't go over here and just be like, it's okay. Don't have to talk about that. Nah, we just put it over here. Take down that facade and say, hey, listen, yeah, there's some things going on. Could you pray for me about that? Could you pray for this? Because we never know how deep this goes. We talked about in Sunday school class that the Father, God, He sees the things that are deep in the darkness, not just the things that are in the dark, but deep in the darkness. He knows the evil that's back there. He knows those things, and He's the light that can expose those things and drive them out. Remember that aspect of submission? It involves respect. And in that respect, we help each other live out our life in Christ. We respect each other. We're going to, because I respect you, listen, I want to help you live your life out in Christ. And we have to do that by reminding ourselves of that source of strength. The Lord and His power, the Lord and His might. And so run to Him. So remember our adversary, the devil. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's out to destroy your life. He doesn't care about you. Oh yeah, now there might be some pretend. There might be some, oh well, you know, yeah, I really, yeah, I care about you. But you know, when you were a kid, you know, yeah, I'll do that. And what do you have behind your back? You got your fingers crossed. You remember that? Anybody ever do that when you were a kid? You had your fingers crossed? Yeah, Satan doesn't have your back. He's out for himself. He wants to see you fall. His priority is to make sure people don't come to know Christ as their Savior, and then he wants to see you as a Christian struggle as much as you can struggle in your life. And if you fall face flat on the ground, he's fine with it. He doesn't care. Yeah, we have to remember our source of strength is the Lord. We need to be praying for each other. Lift each other up in prayer. You're going to keep hearing this towards the end about this aspect of prayer. It's a part of this armor that we are to put on. Verse 11, the wise prepare for the devil's scheme. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. To prepare, you often have to shed something. You have to take something off. I mean, you could get in the shower and take a shower with all your clothes on. But if you want to take a shower and you want to take a good shower, and this is silly, I know, you're going to have to take clothes off, right? I mean, that's obvious. Well, in order for God to work in your life and to work efficiently and to work to the best of his ability in your life, you're going to have to shed some things. You've got to take off the old self and put the new self on. Paul talks about that. As believers, we have to shed something, and that something is that old life. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to get rid of it sometimes, but it has to go. The old life is oftentimes easier because we're more familiar with it, and guess what? It's something that comes natural. We're just more naturally sometimes inclined to lean towards that way. But we must shed it. Not only shed the sin, but we must also shed the thinking. We have to change our minds. That takes time, that takes effort, that takes discipline to do it in our life. Hence the reason why the importance of us submitting to one another. Hence the idea of we have to keep each other in front of the Lord in prayer. Put off the old, put on the new. We are to renew our minds. And when you take it off, you take that off, you put something else on. That's that new life in Christ. And what's really neat is Paul says that in chapter 4 that it concerns righteousness and holiness. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And here in chapter 6, Paul describes it as putting on the whole armor of God. Preparation involves putting on God's armor. Well, what are you preparing for? Well, he tells you, you're preparing because of the devil's schemes. That evil spiritual reality that's out there that has control in this world. So you're preparing for that. But notice how I've stressed the whole armor of God. It's great that you have your salvation. That's a piece of the puzzle. And he lists out different aspects of this whole armor. Beginning of next year, we're going to walk through some of those things. We're going to talk about those. So I'm not going to go into deep detail about any of this stuff right now, but I'm trying to help you understand this in light of the big picture of the book of Ephesians. See, if we don't put on the whole armor of God, Satan will exploit those weaknesses. He will exploit them. And so the wise prepare for the devil's schemes. The wise, they stay prepared. They don't just prepare and think, oh, well, I'm prepared, I'm good, we can just go on now. They stay prepared. They stay on top of it. Look there in verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. It's a really nice and neat word there, that word take up. It has the ideal of taking up and receiving and kind of keeping a hold of it, taking it, okay? You got to keep it there. You got to work at keeping it there, okay? It's not something that you can just put it there and forget it and walk away. You take it up, you keep it, and you keep it there, okay? You stay prepared. I must constantly and consistently have this on my own person. I must have this on me. It must be something that's consistent, part of my daily life. I must work on it. I must stay on top of it. And he tells us why we have to be this way. He tells us why it should always be something that we're constantly working on, consistently working on. Why? Because we never know when the evil day will come. I'll never know when Satan says, today's your day. I'm particularly working on you right now. And he works on you. So why do we just stay prepared? Because your day's coming too. Paul told Timothy to be ready in season and out of season. Why? Because there are people who are not part of the body of Christ. They're leading people into false teachings. If they're not part of the body of Christ, who's their influence? Who's their influencer? Satan. That spiritual realm that we don't know about. Hi. We have visitors down front. But Paul told Timothy, you've got to be ready in season and out of season. That's constant, consistent preparation. That's not just saying, oh, I went to school for that. I'm done. I'll go this way now. No, it doesn't work that way. None of you go to your job and think, oh, I learned it at school, but I'm not going to do it now, right? It doesn't work that way. You learn a trade, you learn something, and you got to keep up with it. So you take it to your job, you're working on it, you keep doing it, and it keeps you on top of it. How many of you at one point in time learned Spanish or another language? And how many of you can speak that language now? Yeah. Brent's like, I'm that way too. If I really wanted to sit down and I could probably pick some words out in Spanish, but I can't speak it. I didn't stay on top of it. I didn't stay prepared. It's the same thing going on here. You have to stay prepared. It's not that you just take it up and you're like, yeah, I've been there, done that. We walk away. No, I keep polish it up every once in a while. I got to keep up over here. Might have to adjust the strap over here every once in a while. I keep up with it. And so the wise stay prepared. Matter of fact, Satan explains it like this, that believers are to be ready to make a defense to those who ask for the reason of the hope that is in us. Why do you need to be ready? Because there are people out there in this world who are struggling with the spiritual aspect of life. They're struggling with it. They have questions. They're wrestling. They don't know. And Peter says, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to give a defense, to let people understand and know, hey, listen, this is the hope in the person of Jesus Christ. This is who I have. He's changed me. That person is struggling with those schemes of the devil. And you have the hope. You look different. You've stayed prepared. Something about you is different, and you have the answer. And so the wise, they stay prepared. The wise are resolved. The wise are resolved. You know, one of the things about this is when we we get out here and we actually start practicing and living like a Christian, not just playing Christian, but we actually start living like a Christian, it gets hard. It gets tiring. We get worn down. And we are to be resolved. We are to stand firm. We are to dig in. It's kind of like entrenching yourself into it. And what are you supposed to dig into? As a believer in Christ, fighting and wrestling against these things, what are we to dig into? Well, he tells us using an analogy. So let's read this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done so, I lost my place, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. He tells us, when you dig in and you want to stand firm, you are to, number one, go to the truth, the Word of God. Know it, understand it. If you can memorize it and you do a really good job at that, memorize it. That's what was told in the Old Testament that the Israelites were supposed to do. You know, write it on something, put it down, wrap it around this, do something with it so that you know about it, you hear about it, you're constantly around it and with it. And if you physically have to do that, if you physically have to write it down, I know people who have gone through and, you know, copied the Bible. Why? Because it helps them to ingrain it into their life. No, they may not know it verbatim, word for word, but it helps them and ingrains his word into their life. That's just one example. There's a lot of things that you can do. But the thing is, we're to put that truth on. That's how we dig in. That's how we stand firm, because it's not our strength. Remember? I go to the Word of God. I go to His truth. And then I'm supposed to practice that truth. He says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness? Righteousness is practicing the truth of God's word, living it out, playing it out into your life. So you put the truth on and you use it. You do it. You practice it. And then he tells us to not just practice it, not just to live it out in our life, like sandals on your feet. We're supposed to be prepared. We're supposed to be ready to go out and spread that truth. Tell that truth. Particularly the truth of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we dig in with. We dig in with the truth. We practice that truth. We live that truth out in our life. And then we tell others about that truth. We spread it. And then we come in here in verse 16. It says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Live by faith. Because if you live by sight, it's going to deceive you more often than not. You got to live by faith. So you dig in, you've got the truth of God, you're practicing that truth, you're telling people about that truth, and then guess what? It doesn't always make sense. It can't always see it working out. Just live by faith. Because living by faith, God's got you. He says that the devil's going to throw those darts at you. He says that shield will extinguish those. That will take care of that for you. Live by faith. So the wise are to be resolved. And then the wise are to fight. Now when you look at this and you think about this, you think a lot of this has to do with defensive stuff. And really there's a lot of protection, okay? But in this is some very offensive things. Not offensive like I've, you know, hurt your feelings, you know, that kind of offense. Things that you use on offense. Okay? And so the wise, they fight. They are prepared to fight. And so in verse 17, he goes on, and he says, and take the helmet of salvation We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. You know salvation. The greatest offensive weapon that you have on your arsenal is the fact that you are a redeemed person in Jesus Christ. Now, to me and you, we think, oh, that's not very, you know, I don't fight with that. But you show that to Satan, and that's a fight. He doesn't like that. You show that to Satan, he knows that you are not his. You are the victor. Satan has no power over you. Sin has no power over you. Use it to fight with. Use it to remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's the helmet of salvation. Now to you and me on the outside, that doesn't seem much like a weapon to use. But to Satan, it's not a weapon he can't overcome. You are not his. And live like it. Live like it. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. And I'm amazed at how these two things are connected here. These are two things that are intertwined, the Holy Spirit and the word of God. The indwelling work of the Holy Spirit in our life leads us into all truth. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we use the Holy Spirit, we run to the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God and try to apply it and work towards applying it to our life. The Holy Spirit's there to help us do that. Now I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you. But the first person that you run to when you read God's Word to help you understand it, to learn it, to comprehend it, is not me. The first person that you run to is not maybe John MacArthur or Chuck Swindoll, or you may have people in your mind right now. There's a lot of good ones out there. The first person that you run to is the Holy Spirit, the very first person. One of the things that I do that I make a practice of when I prepare messages and things like that is it is very easy for me to always go back here to the back pocket and say, I can just pull out something that I've done before. That does not help you, and it does not help me. I want to seek the Lord's face, and I go to the Lord and I ask Him, Holy Spirit, what should I say? How should I do things? What should happen here? As I read this, help me understand it. Help me glean from it. Help me to see the bigger picture and all of those aspects. I run to the Holy Spirit. Now, with that said, does that mean all those other people are hogwash? Don't listen to them? No, because hopefully they've done the same thing. Hopefully they've listened to the Holy Spirit as well. We run to the Holy Spirit. Do we always get it right? No. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've not understood things the right way. Because probably, more often than not, I've been influenced by something else that skewed my thinking. And I have to take a step back and I have to be like, hey, you know something? I've not let the Holy Spirit guide me in the truth. So when we're out here in this world fighting against principalities and the darkness and the things that's out here, it's the Word of God. And I need to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I use this in this world that is evil to work, to be a weapon? Jesus did that. When Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him. What did he use? He used the Word of God. He used the Word of God. And then He sent the Holy Spirit to us to help us. Take advantage. Take advantage of the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow Him to work through you. These two things, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, are very powerful resources in the stand against the devil and his schemes. Do not neglect them. It is what we fight with. And Jesus gave us that example. And then the last thing here is prayer. Prayer. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. He keeps on. So keep on reading here. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. There he says, make sure you're praying for one another. Making supplications for all saints and also for me. I go back to what I said before. I need you to pray for me too. Paul's not saying, hey, I'm some super saint over here and I don't need your prayers. Paul's saying, hey, listen, I'm in the same boat you are in. You have a world around you that has evil in it. You have an adversary, the devil. I need your prayer too. I need your prayer. So he says, and pray, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Pray for him. Because as he confronts these individuals, he's like, pray that I confront them and I have the words to say that'll get the point across. The same thing goes for me. Same thing goes for you when you're out there in this world and you're interacting with people and you see people that are hurting, people that are influenced by the world, they're caught up into it. Lord, give them the words to say. Help them to understand it. Help them to understand your word, your truth, so that they can convey that truth the right way to them. The wise. The wise prepare for spiritual warfare. They recognize the evil. And so we come to this aspect of to know Christ and to make him known. Number one, are you prepared and are you staying prepared? Are you prepared? The very first thing that you think about in this preparation is the very first step is the act of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The very first act of preparation is realizing, hey, listen, I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And by faith, I put my faith and trust in who can do it for me, who I get my strength from, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first step of preparation. And then as you work and as you read and as you glean from the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit work in your life and you're taking off the old and you're putting on the new, you're being prepared. You're being prepared to live this life. And then as a believer in Christ, who is mature in your relationship with Him, what are you doing to stay prepared? Because knowing Christ is not just something that I've done that over here, and we can move on now. You have to stay prepared. Why? Because Satan looks for anything that he can get to use to get to you. Maybe that breastplate of righteousness, maybe that's kind of gotten a little tarnished because you're not practicing the truth of God's word in your life as much. Bing! Satan's right there. He'll work into it. Are you staying prepared? And then we think about the imperative of the Great Commission to make him known. Remember, part of this outfit that Paul describes is the shoes that are prepared, that are ready to do what? Go. They're ready to go. They're ready to tell other people about the truth of who Christ is and what Christ can do in their life. They're ready to help encourage other people in their walk and their relationship with the Lord, because that is discipleship. He says, go and make disciples. And so as we go, we tell people about the truth. We don't just leave them there and be like, okay, we told you the truth. No, we stay. We help encourage them in that truth. We build. We grow in the truth. Of Are you prepared? Are you staying prepared? And then are we doing the go part? We put on the sandals, and are we actually using the sandals to go? I find it very interesting that Paul uses this right after he's talked about this aspect of submission, submitting one to another, because we've got to have that work in the relationship of the church, that we respect one another, we value one another, we realize who you are in Jesus Christ, that we hold each other accountable to the truth of God's Word, and how we do it with the right attitude. Because we face a battle that is far greater than we could ever comprehend in this world. And he tells us you've got to put on the whole armor. That's going to take teamwork. I don't walk out there on the battlefield as the sole army of the Lord. We're the body of Christ. We're here to function and work as a unit. Yeah, we might have different functions, but as a whole, we work and we function and we work together as the body of Christ. And that goes back to that mystery that Paul describes in Ephesians. The mystery of the church. That here you have a body of people from various backgrounds, from various, cultural differences that were vastly different. They come together and they work. Why? Because they have one common enemy. And the enemy is not each other. The enemy is the adversary, the devil. Stand strong. Stand firm. Dig in to the truth of God's Word. Practice it. Put it on. Keep it prepared. Stay on top of it. And yes, it takes daily work and struggle. That's the reason why we're here with each other. You're here for me. I'm here for you. We work together. And that's the building of the church as we go out into this world. We're going to close next week with the book of Ephesians and remind us of some things as we talk about that. In the beginning of the year, we're going to pick up and we're going to look at specifically and think about these different aspects of, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and all those other aspects, and how we work and interact with those things in our life. I've just given you a touch of it this morning. But let's pray for one another. Keep each other in our prayers. Because it's a hard world out there. And I think as you look around and you read the news and you think about these things, you understand it is a hard world out there, that there is something going on that's beyond just personal differences. It's a struggle out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'll strengthen us and encourage us. Help us to be resolved in our stand. Because we know the enemy is just as resolved, if not more, than we are. Help us to dig in and stand firm. Help us to turn to you. Help us to glean from your word. Help us to stay on top of our relationship with you. Help us to continue to put that old self off and put that new self on. Well, Lord, we need you. It's your strength and not ours. We are very insufficient. And Lord, if it wasn't for you and what you've supplied in our lives, we would definitely not be able to make it. We give you praise and we give you glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.